Welcome to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast, where the cross and the culture are on a collision course for discussion.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Now, here's your host, Thomas Irvin.
I am very happy with the small group of people we have that come faithfully. It encourages us. It blesses us. The attitude, the spirit, it's been tremendous. It's been very good. And so we're going to start tonight. The goal is essentially to lay out some basic ideas and plans for 2024 for the church. And I plan to do something to this effect at the end of every year, where we're going to talk about the future direction of the church. We're going to try some things. We're going to test some things. We're going to implement some things. We're going to find out that was dumb and not do those things again. We're going to, it's a learning process. People are coming. People are growing. People have different ideas and thoughts and all those good things. And so we're going to do our best to try and shape this church into a God-fearing, God-loving, Christ-centered church. And that's the direction we're going to go in. You know by now, I don't care about tradition. I don't care about religion, even if it's Baptist religion. None of that has any bearing here, unless it's useful and will help us to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. If it is, then great, we'll do it. If it's not, then it can be ushered right out the door with the person who clings to it, if necessary. So what we're going to start with is just, we're going to look briefly, very briefly, at what the church is and why our chosen direction is so important. So if you turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start there, we'll have we'll just briefly look at what the church is and what's expected of it, very briefly, and then we're going to talk about several plans for 2024. Ms. Pat and I were able to sit down yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. To make sure, because so much happens in a day. The Lord said sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, but man, I mean, a lot happens in one day. So, so we were able to talk about several things that we're going to be doing, and I'm thankful to have her help, and she's going to continue in her capacity as the treasurer of the church and maintain the funds. We've put some things in place to help protect her and to help protect the church that we'll be adding. She may call on one of you who is a regular attendee to help her count the money here in church, and then we will need your signature after it's counted to make sure before it ever left this building, we know what was there. And that's if someone ever questions the treasurer or questions what's happening with the money, we have something in place where we can say, no, we have two witnesses who said this is what came in. All right? And so that I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's one of the things that have been put in place. And her and I were able to meet and talk and go over several things that we're going to talk about this evening. But first, what is the church and what is its purpose? What's it here for? Colossians 1, verses 18 through 29. Look at verse 18. And he is, who is this he?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, right? And he is the head of the body, comma, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, that's important. That gets left out far too often. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Okay, now, if we take that statement to mean what it says, the Apostle Paul, before his life was over, according to him, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven before his life ended. Man. Right? And so it should have gone around the world about, I don't know, 1,000 more times since then, but I would say it's probably unfortunate that it has not. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. And what is that body? Which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, the church is not a political entity. It is not a religious organization. It should not be run like a political entity, which has become the American way of doing things. We have an American democracy, so now the church has to be some form of American democracy. And it does nothing but sow discord among the brethren. It causes problems. The church is not a religion. I'm not here to give you a list of things to do, and if you do these things, maybe God will be happy with you. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to teach you what the Word of God says, and if you do that, maybe God will be happy with you. But I can't give you a religious checklist to say, do this, don't do that, and then maybe in the end, God will let you into heaven. That's not how it works. I'm here to teach you what the Word of God says. You are the body. I am the body. We are all members of this body, the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, he is the head of that body. Not the United States government, not our Constitution, not our Bill of Rights, none of this political garbage that gets drug into church is part of church. All right? The body of Christ has a head. It's Jesus Christ. We are subject to him. We do what he says. He left his instruction right here. He left structure, organization. He put things in place that we are to follow as the church, as the body of Christ, and it's our responsibility to adopt that and to do that. We don't have to vote on you know, homosexuality or we don't have to discuss it. We don't need to put together a committee. We don't need to research it or think about it. The Word of God says we have nothing to do with it. And so we're gonna handle it that way. The church is a living body. The head of that body is Jesus Christ, who gave us his word to direct us and lead in all things pertaining to his body. Now, it's amazing to me how many churches will say, well, the Bible is our final authority. And then when you say, okay, well, we need to do A, B, and C. Well, we need to go ask the deacon board and make sure they're okay with that. Or we need to, you know, assemble everybody and we need to have a vote on whether we should do that or not. No, you need to obey the word of God. And when your tradition gets in the way of you obeying the word of God, when you have to check with a bunch of men to find out if you are permitted to obey Jesus Christ, you have a serious problem. You are no longer functioning as the body. You are functioning as a sick body that is disconnected from its head. You know what happens to a body when you disconnect it from its head? It doesn't work well. And so we want to remain connected to our head. Jesus Christ is the head. The Word of God is our authority. We're not just saying that. We don't. It's not a neat catchphrase that identifies us with the Baptist religion. We actually believe that and are going to do that. All right. That's our direction. That's our what we've been called to do. It's what God requires of us. The church belongs to Christ. It does not belong to organizations or religions or boards or committees. It belongs to the Lord. And as his possession, he bought it with his blood. The church is expected to operate in accord with the owner's manual, this book. All right, that's it. This is what we're going to follow. It's what we're going to abide by. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 27. Verse 22, wives. Uh-oh. Maybe I should skip this verse. All right, here we go. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this is not our topic tonight, but since we're here, this is a voluntary subjection. Now, you're being instructed by Jesus Christ to do this. But somebody help me understand what the Bible says is the punishment for the wife who refuses to submit herself to her husband. It's the exact same punishment Jesus Christ gives you when you don't submit to him. Nothing. Right? It's up to you. There is no, well, my wife didn't submit, so I'm going to get my belt out and don't tell them what we do at home. So it's a voluntary subjection, just like your submission to Christ is voluntary. And we're talking about the church tonight, the body of Christ, which is supposed to be in subjection to Christ. And so it's amazing to me how many churches are not in subjection to Christ, but who's going to come force them? Not the Lord. Now, he'll keep knocking. He'll keep asking. Just as a husband should keep working with his wife and doing his best to help her to take that place of submission. There's no correction that you give to your wife when she doesn't submit to you. The Lord has no correction that he gives to you if you're not going to submit to him. It's up to you, but it'd be in your best interest to do so. So verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. And what is the body? The church. All right, so he bought it. He saved it. He's the head. We are subject to him, period. All right, now verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Oh, yeah. In everything. All right, that's all right. So when it comes to the way the church is going to operate, Go Forth Baptist Church, what is our criteria? Be subject to Christ in everything. Right? That's it. That's the criteria. Well, should we get, you know, a board of committees together and find? No, we don't need any of that garbage. What we need to do is find out how God wants this place to operate and do that in everything, every part, every member, everything. Which part of your body would you like to rebel against you? Any part? Is it okay if your foot decides that I quit? No, that wouldn't go well. All right, so every member needs to be in subjection in everything, just as a wife should be to her husband, the church should be to Jesus Christ. All right, and he's got this parallel teaching going here, and it just happens to work to the man's advantage. Praise the Lord. Who's doing the preaching here? Verse 25. Verse 25, husbands. Oh boy, here we go. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, now here comes the difficulty on the other side. Yeah, but you don't know how she treats me. Well, do you know how the bride treats Christ? He had to shed his blood for it. All right, so has your relationship with your wife gotten that bad? No? Well, then love her. Now, I mean, and then and look what it says. Husbands, love your wives. Right? It's like, well, I think I've fallen out of love with her. Well, get up.
Right.
Or fall back in. Whatever that means, it's a commandment.
Right.
Love your wife. Well, we're not in love anymore. Well, get back in it. Whatever in love means, it doesn't mean anything. It means you've decided that your attention is going elsewhere and you need to get it corrected. Right now, husbands, love your wives. Yeah, but you don't know how she treats me. He didn't ask. There's no criteria here to love your wife if. Husbands, love your wives. Period. Christ loved a bride that did nothing but cause him trouble. He made her spotless. He made her perfect. He shed his blood for the bride. Okay, so that's your example. So when you come to a preacher and you say, yeah, but you don't know my wife. Yeah, but I know the bride of Christ and it's her relationship with her bridegroom and he's still stuck with his bride. So God expects you to do the same. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, that's the example, and gave himself for it. So if you want to be head of your home, which God expects you to be, act like it. If you're not going to act like it, then how could you have any expectation that the wife in your home is going to follow the leader? If you're not going to lead and you're not going to step up and be the man that God wants you to be, you have no expectation that she's going to be the woman that God expects her to be. All right, it goes both ways. Everybody wants to play the victim until somebody sits down and starts pointing out the realities of the situation. Then they say, never mind, we'll go somewhere else. There's a church down the road that will let us get a divorce. You know, the Lord's leading us to leave. Whatever, it's up to you. But if you want a strong relationship, well, wife, submit yourself to your husband as the church is to Christ. And husbands, love your wife and give yourself for her the way that Christ did for the church. That's it. That's the book right there. The Secrets to a Happy Marriage. Shut up and love your wife. That's the secret. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now that's amazing. He sacrificed himself and loved a bride that he has to clean. All right, now, the advice I would give a young man today who said, I'm thinking about this girl, you better be very careful. Do you know her? Do you know her family? Do you know her background? Is she faithful to church? You better choose very carefully. And ladies, the same goes in the other direction. How do you know him? Does he go to church? Well, I think I can get him to come. Wrong answer. Not going to happen. He's going to pull you out. You're not going to pull him in. All right. It's going to go in the direction of the negative. You better choose very carefully who you swear before God you're going to spend the rest of your life with. All right. And a lot of people don't do that. They get all googly eyed and can't think objectively. And then a year later, they're like, well, I didn't know he was like this, but you should have known. And it doesn't matter. You promised before God you were going to stay there. Well, I don't like. Well, nobody cares what you like. Get over it. You're married. It's time to grow up and get over some things. And so Christ had to sanctify and cleanse with the washing of water by what? The word of God. He's the head. He said, I'm going to clean you up with the word of God. That's what we're subject. 27.
Yeah.
That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, how did his bride get holy and without blemish? He cleaned her, right? And so that makes it very hard for you to, that makes it very hard to give marriage counseling because people are going to come expecting for you to agree with their grievances. And in reality, what I'm going to tell you is get over your grievances and fix your marriage. Well, we're trying. No, you're not. If you were trying, you wouldn't be sitting in front of me right now. It's really not hard. That's the problem. It's far too easy. But everybody wants to talk about falling into something. We're just not in love anymore. That wasn't an option. Christ said, husbands, love your wife. The Lord said that the aged women should teach the wives to love their husbands. So everybody's been instructed, whoever you married, love them. You don't fall into it. You don't trip and fall in a puddle of love and we have a good relationship now. No, it's a choice. I am going to love my wife. I am going to be faithful to my wife. And that's it. If we have problems, we are going to sit down and fix them and work them out. Quitting, leaving, falling out of whatever this is, none of that is an option. And neither is that an option with the church. You're a part of the body of Christ that is subject to the word of God. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right, so this is what the church is. It is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. It all belongs to him. Now, it is my job as the pastor of this church to direct it in accord with that structure and none other. I have no other obligation before God to direct and to decide on the direction of this church. Christ is the head. I'm not an under shepherd. I'm not like co-equal with Jesus and we work side by side to direct this church. I am a pastor, which means I am to serve you and I am to serve Jesus Christ. Period. If you have chosen me to be the pastor of this church, I am now responsible for what happens to you spiritually and what happens to this church spiritually. So guess who's going to have a keen interest in the direction of this church? Yes. Because I'm the one that's going to stand before God and explain to him why what happened here under my directive. So that's how things are going to go. Now, I understand there's a massive amount of tradition, and we have some people here who are in some ways steeped in some of this tradition, and I get that. Some of them are not going to like this, are not going to understand this. I love them anyways. We're still going to do it. Now, I hope they'll come along, and I think they will. Nobody here has shown me any inclination that they're going to fight against the direction that I have chosen or ideas that I've thrown out. Everybody's been pretty easy to get along with. It's been a blessing. It really has been good. Everybody that God has given us here so far has gone out of their way in one way or another to be a blessing to us. Amen. That is very encouraging and makes this very easy. And so what I want to make known from the start is my purpose is to always do what is in the best interest of this church. And the best interest of this church is always to honor and glorify Jesus Christ and to do whatever I can to help point you as individuals and collectively in that direction. That will always be the foundation of the direction that I choose to go in every time, right? And nothing else. I don't care about feelings. I don't care about emotions. Like I have my own. I'm not going to be concerned about yours, right? What I need to know is, objectively, what does God want us to do and how does he want us to do it? And despite anybody's feelings or thoughts or ideas or traditions, if it's contrary to what the Word of God says, we're not doing it. We're going to stick with the Bible. When we say that the Bible is our final authority, we are going to absolutely mean it. So if you come to me with an issue, a question, an idea, it would help if you had a Bible verse to back it up. Then you'll have my attention. But if you come, you say, well, I think, yeah, I know, I do that too. And what I have learned is not to lean onto my own understanding. Yeah. Maybe I could help you with that. Isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting? Yeah, but I feel. Yeah, but have you heard what the Bible says about your feelings? Yeah, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. I wouldn't rely on those. I would set those aside and look and see what the Word of God says. And then based on what the Word of God says, I would correct my feelings. Amen. All right. That's exciting. So this is the direction we're going to be taking in certain areas at Go Forth Baptist Church for 2024. Number one, the finances. As the Lord's body, we are responsible to represent Him well in our finances. It's one of the areas where churches end up getting in the most trouble. They don't take their finances serious enough, and they end up offending people and misrepresenting Jesus Christ because they get themselves into things that the Lord never would have had them get into in the first place. This church, long before I arrived here, whenever that was, I don't know, demonstrated a desire to support missions and to be a help in printing ministries and to help spread God's word through giving. That's when I look at the finances of this church, though the church hardly has money to give, you have tried your best to do it anyways. That's a blessing. That demonstrates a heart for giving. Well, before we can do that, we've got to clean up the finances. Right? We're going to do that. We are absolutely going to do that. That's going to be a fundamental part of this church. But first, we've got to clean things up. This is a blessing, and the time we'll have and in time we will have missionaries stand in this pulpit and tell us of their burden to serve the Lord here in America and also all the way to the uttermost. We're going to have missionaries. We're going to have missions conferences. We're going to have all sorts of things. I have all sorts of things planned that will be exciting, that will help us to grow, that will help this church to build, that will strengthen this church. It's going to be great, but we got to clean up the finances. Right now, it's a bit of a mess, right? Now, in order to serve the Lord properly with our finances, we have to get them in order. This will be done in three ways in 2024, beginning in 2024. First, the Lord will provide for His church. If we will be faithful to preach and teach God's word and faithful to saturate our community with the gospel, the Lord Himself will support this church. I have no doubt about that. If He sees that that's what we're going to do, then that's where He's going to send money. God's not running out of money, all right? So it'll come this way if that's what we're going to do. Second, one way the Lord provides is through people. We will do our best to fill these pews with bodies of people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're not in any rush to have people. I mean, I know methods and ways. I could have this church full by tomorrow if we really wanted to. But not one person would be worth 5 cents. All right? That's not what we're doing. I want quality people with godly character who are interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's going to take time. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Right? But our focus is going to be quality, not quantity, though we do want the church to grow, but we're going to do it in a way that honors and glorifies God and that has a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and His word. Third, we need to release ourselves from the bondage of debt. Look at Proverbs 22, and it's a common verse. I know most of you probably have it memorized. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor. Just don't tell our progressive left-leaning friends that that's true. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, what we have done, or what the church, you know, this is when it was done, how it was done, what the motives were, I wasn't here for any of that, so I'm not going to speak to that. I don't know the meaning behind it, the purpose behind it. Whatever choice was made, it was made. There's nothing I can do, nothing we can do about that now. But we are left with the bill. And where we are now is this church has put a master between us and the master that we should be subject to, Jesus Christ. And that is a lender. Now we did it for the building. Look, I get all the reasons people do it. It's just that's not how we're going to do things moving forward. If we need a new building, I would love to have this huge plot of land in the fence over here next to us. But if God doesn't give that to us, guess what we're not going to have? We're not going to have that. All right, so it's just how it is. We can now we're going to plan and we're going to prepare and we're going to do our best to handle our finances well. But we're not going to go, you know, if we could buy it tomorrow, only if we go out and take out a $200,000 loan. That's not God providing it.
No.
That's us moving in the flesh to get something that we really want. There's a big difference. And so we're not going to do things that way. So we need to get rid of this debt. So here's how we're going to do it. The debt is a looming problem for many reasons. First, as we have discussed, we are subject to our master, the bank, until it's paid off. Right? The borrower is slave to the lender, or servant to the lender. Now, it's incredible that it says servant. We talked about that word the first Sunday I was here. Who remembers what is unique about the word servant? It's voluntary subjection. Which means, and it's incredible the Bible used that in that passage, which means we signed up for it.
Right.
All right, so we want to unsign up for it in a responsible way. So so we're subject to the bank until it's paid off. Second, when the loan was recently restructured, whenever that happened, the church signed up for a balloon payment that hits in 2025. Third, almost $600 per month goes to the bank rather than the church needs or missions. So if we get rid of this loan, it frees up almost $600 per month that could be used far more productively here.
Yeah.
All right, now, you know, you got to pay for the property. So I'm not trying to be critical of the men who did this or the people who did this. I want to be very clear. I don't know why they did it the way they did it.
Right.
All right, but it's here,
right,
and we got to take care of it. All right, so the solution, starting in 24, Brother Nathan put his name on the line for me at Merchants and Marine Bank, and as a result, they have made me an offer for employment. So starting January 8th, assuming God doesn't disrupt things before then, as every other job I've tried to get has disappeared, so we'll see. Assuming I start, then I'll start January 8th at the bank. That, and they're going to provide a salary that is more than sufficient to take care of my family. All right, so I'm going to take the position. It will allow me to work from home part-time and also from Pascagoula the other part of the time. Therefore, the money, the $250 the church has been giving to me on a weekly basis, will be redirected from me and given to the bank to pay down the loan. So every week, what the $250 that would normally be given to me will be deposited at the bank. All right? That way it's continually paying down the loan, and as long as we have it, we'll keep doing it. As long as that money comes in, we'll keep paying it down until it is gone. If we do this faithfully throughout 2024, the loan will go from about $53,000 down to $33,000 by December of 2024. All right? That knocks a major dent in the loan, which we should be able to continue into 2025. And in the event that the loan balloons in early 2025, I don't know when. Do you have any idea? May? Okay. All right. That gives us a good cushion before it balloons. And then if the payment does jump up and becomes large, well, we've already knocked the loan down so much that it shouldn't affect us too much. It should be fairly easy on us as long as we stick to this and get this done in the way that I am proposing. Now, paying the pastor, I believe it is the church's responsibility to care for their pastor, but the church also has to be in a position to be able to care for the pastor. And right now, the church is just not in a position to be able to do that, which is fine. That all that can be revisited later. I have a way to take care of my family. It's a good enough position that allows me to remain close to my family and close to the church and take care of our financial needs, that's fine. As the church grows, you can have that discussion later about how to handle that and how to deal with all that. But right now, the way I look at it, you don't have the money. Right now, the money needs to go to paying down the loan. And even at the end of the year, if we have some excess, we may throw that at the loan as well, just to knock it down more and get rid of it. Once that's gone, it frees things up quite a bit more. Once more people are here who are, Lord willing, faithful and dedicated to what we're doing, that's going to increase the amount of giving. It's a win-win all the way around. Now, preparation for the future. Miss Pat will open two extra savings accounts, one for missions and one for church needs and emergencies. We will split all money that comes in, unless it is designated for a specific use, in this way. The checking account that already exists will receive 70% of the money, right? I'm sorry? Yeah, each weekly. Yeah, this will be in the weekly deposits. The second account will be a missions account. 20% of the money will go in the missions account. The third account will be a savings account for the church for emergencies or needs around the church. 10% of the money will go in that account. And so that money will just build up when we're ready to do missions. We have money already in place. If the AC unit or the, I don't know, ceiling falls in or whatever, we have money saved up in order to fix something.
Right.
Are you pointing out something that needs to be fixed?
I'm worried about it.
The roof?
Yeah, it looks like termites.
Oh, great. I'm going to ignore you for now. And well, we'll... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look into that. All right. Now, so that's the way the finances are going to go. Now, Miss Pat knows what she needs to do to accomplish that. The bank has certain requirements. Do you want to do that now?
Please.
Go ahead.
Okay. We need to have a motion made and seconded that me and Phyllis can open these two savings accounts, and that I guess me and her will be the authorized signers.
Good. Eventually, I do not want to be the assistant treasurer. I'm just not, I don't have the capability to do what I should. I'm just filling in right now.
Okay.
Right, but I mean, all it would take is more paperwork. It's not going to change any account numbers or anything like that.
Okay. Well, how soon do you need to be out of this position as the assistant? all right, we'll talk about all that. All right. That's no problem. We'll work on that as soon as possible. But right now, go ahead and do what you need to do to get this done. So you need a...
I can call Tuesday and she can start working on it.
Okay.
And all I have to do is Phyllis will make us a letter.
Okay.
So all we need is a motion and a second to
all right.
open these accounts.
Okay. All right. Good. He will be. And I want to talk to him first. I mean, he's offered to help with the finances, but I don't want to hear in front of everybody throw that on his shoulders and be like, well, you're in. So let me talk to him. Yeah. Yeah. Let me, you know, we'll work that out. I'm sorry. Oh, amen. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, that good old American democracy in church.
Well, it just has to be technically
sure. I got you. No problem. All right, so we'll get that done. And then over the next month or two, we're going to kind of watch it and make sure that we can separate the money in this way and still cover our finances. Because we need about $1,200 a month to cover everything that the church is currently responsible for. That's before, or that's not including the money that you're giving me and the money that will now go to the bank loan. So when you add that, we're at about $2,200 a month that has to come in every month in order for the church to properly function and operate financially. All right? Okay. Miss Pat will remain in place as the treasurer for now. She has been a big help to me, and she has demonstrated a heart's desire for the best interest of this church. And so we're going to leave it that way until... things are restructured in the future, or she no longer wants to do it, or whatever the case may be. But for now, I trust her and appreciate her help. Now, the septic system. On Tuesday, a man is coming to dig out the septic system. It's so full of dirt that it cannot be pumped out. Hooray. They have to manually dig the entire thing out. Well, if it's functional, we don't want to fill it in. So they have to dig it out and then put a lid on it. So they're going to come on Tuesday.
So is this a septic tank for the church itself?
Yes.
Or for the fellowship? Or for everything?
As far as we know, it's for everything. It's not clear. It's not. No one here knows for sure. Maybe Brother Don knows. If he comes back, we can try to pick his brain.
We're the third church here.
Okay. Oh, really?
Okay, so in order to have our bathrooms and everything dug out, right? Mm-hmm. And then sealed, or
they're going to dig it out. They're going to make sure it's functioning properly, and they're going to put a new lid on it so that it will be back in operating condition, and we don't have to deal with this anymore. And we don't have a big gaping hole on the side of the church that's sue the church, right, and then we're done because we won't be able to afford it. Yeah, that and the termites, we can. All right. All right, so it has to be manually dug out. The men who are, they're coming on Tuesday, they will dig it out. They will confirm it is functioning properly, and they will put a new lid on the tank. This is going to cost around $1,000. We currently have the money in the bank to cover it, but if you'd like to give to help cover it, God bless you. If not, we've got the money. The Lord has provided. It's okay. Now, the next thing on the list is insurance. I've instructed Ms. Pat, again, since we currently have the money on hand, to go ahead and pay the church insurance policy now while we have the money on hand. So that's going to cost just under $2,300. So again, if you would like to help with that, feel free. If you don't, we have the money. And so we're going to go ahead and pay both of those off and have those done. That bill's not due until February, but I'm not going to wait till February and something happen and we don't have the money. We have the money now. We're going to pay it now. It'll be done, and we don't have to worry about it until 2025. So it'll be over with. Ministries. Yeah, it covers a lot. Yeah. It even has terrorism insurance. They'll cover us up to $110 billion for terrorism insurance, the federal government. Well, you know, it's terrifying that has to be there. That's where we are now. All right, now, ministries. No, it's included. It's something that is provided by the federal government. So it's included in the insurance. The federal government will pay it, but they do tell you that if you go over $110 billion, they won't pay that. I know. Yeah, we can fix the termites, the septic, everything in one day. So, all right. All right. Ministries. Turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, and this is going to be our basic philosophy when it comes to ministry. Very simple, very basic. No need to make it complex. Acts 20, verses 17 through 21. Verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Notice he didn't call a vote of all the church. He called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now listen to this, all right? He said, anything that was profitable, I gave it to you. I made it available to you. But how? But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so when it comes to our ministry philosophy, we will do it both publicly and house to house. All right. Now, the prophets preached publicly. The apostles preached publicly. Jesus Christ preached publicly. Baptist churches don't preach at all. They might go door knocking on a Saturday or something like that. If you try and get a Baptist church today to go out publicly and hold a sign and pass out tracts and preach, They'll look at you like you're insane. Well, that's how Jesus did it. That's how the apostles did it. That's how the prophets did it. They went out publicly and they preached the gospel and gave the word of God. So starting January 6th at 4 p.m., we'll begin our weekly public ministry. What we're going to do is go in town, and depending on how many people we have, we'll either stand in one local area or we'll spread out down Main Street, and we're going to hold signs. That's how hard it is. Saturday. Every Saturday at 4. You're just going to stand on the side of the road and hold this sign. That's it. Or sit, or whatever. Whatever is best for your situation. If you can be there.
Huh? I said and wave and be happy.
Yeah. Look like you enjoy life. Make people think that the Christian life is actually fun. And so these signs will be here at the church. Either myself, my wife, or someone who's around can pick them up. We'll bring them downtown. We'll take a stack of tracts. We'll stand there and people walk by. You offer them a tract. If they want it, great. If they don't want it, thank you. No problem. Let them go their way. And so we're going to force people in a nice way to think about Jesus. And then over time, people in town will realize that, like, they're going to stay here. They're going to keep coming every week. We're going to go and we're going to be faithful. Our church in DeLand, if you go in downtown DeLand to the city hall, they have this big mural type map on the wall. It's kind of a cartoonish type map of the city of DeLand, and it has all these historical spots. Well, right in the center of town, it'd be the equivalent of Mill and Main here, something like that. On that map is a little street preacher holding a sign that says Jesus Saves. Because our church has been doing it since like 1983 or something like that. Now, our town, DeLand, is extremely liberal. They hate us. We ruin their liberal paradise. But when it came time to put that map up, they put our little picture up there and indicate that we stand there and hold up signs. That's faithfulness. That's what we're going to do. All right. Now, there are different ways to do public ministry. Everyone, you know, there's always differences of administration. And in a town like Lucedale, I have seen no need to implement an aggressive form of public ministry like we would do in downtown DeLand, like we would do in downtown Orlando. If we went to Mobile, it'd be a lot more aggressive. All right. We'd be louder. We'd be more in your face, that kind of thing. This is a small town for now until they bring in liquor. It's a family-oriented town. It's going to be nice to people and give them an opportunity to hear the gospel or to talk about Jesus or talk about the church or talk about the word of God.
Well, we have liquor in the city limits. It can be sold in the city.
They can sell alcohol or beer.
Yeah.
Beer and wine, but not hard liquor.
Right.
They're hoping to get that passed.
Oh, I know.
They said in the next 5 years. Now, for now, it's going to be a nice place.
Right.
But when that comes, they don't realize what they're inviting into their town. It's going to change. And we might have to become more aggressive. But for now, we're going to enjoy the nice family atmosphere. When someone's walking down the sidewalk, we don't want to block them or obstruct them in any way.
Yeah.
If someone's doing business, we don't want to interfere with their business. We just want to be seen. We want people to see the name of Jesus Christ. We want people to know that we're there. We want to give them a tract, an opportunity to be saved, and engage in some conversation. Some people are going to be happy we're there. Here, probably most people are going to be okay with it. But there are going to be a few people when they see they come every week. they're not going to be okay with it. And it could begin to become a problem for some people. I don't care. Now, we're going to do our best to be respectful. We're going to do our best to do this in a kind, orderly manner. But some people are just going to be offended by the name of Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. It's just how it's going to be. But we're going to do our best to stand up for the Lord. And we're going to do it every week, every Saturday, 4 p.m. And we're going to be there. Now, eventually, the house-to-house ministry. I have to figure out, I'm ignorant as to how to do this, but I'll get it done eventually. I want to figure out where all these subdivisions are that have popped up all over George County, Lucedale, all those areas. They're all over. They're just spread out, and they're small. They're not like huge subdivisions. They're small. Yeah, it's things like that. And so I want to try and find out where they are. Also try and keep up with the new ones that are coming in because they're constantly building new subdivisions. And I want to put them on a rotation, a yearly rotation, where we go in and we go door knocking, leave a door hanger on their door or hand it to them directly. They'll have a church invitation and something with the gospel on it. And the entire point is to introduce ourselves to them, try and engage in a conversation if we can. If we cannot, then we leave a door hanger and move on. But by the end of the year, I want to have gotten to all the subdivisions that we can. And then the start of the next year, we start over again with a whole new packet and a new, you know, some new material to be able to hand out to them and give to them and introduce ourselves again. Now, anytime we do this, if we go on somebody else's property and they don't want us there, no problem. Yeah, just move on. We respect private property. If they say, I don't want you on here, I don't want you coming here, no problem, thank you, move on. Be nice, be kind, even if they're being a jerk. It just, like we learned this morning, just learn to take wrong. But if Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, usually I get my Bible out and start, you know, they run away by the time it's over with. They're like, just forget it, just leave, let's go. And yeah, they take our house off the list, stop coming. So, but I don't want to start implementing too many things too quickly, and we don't have enough people. I don't want to wear everybody out. You know, as the church grows, more of this will be done. I may do some of this on my own or in small groups, little by little over time. Every Saturday, that's happening. That's a done deal. The others will come on board over time. And then the Lord's Supper. I would like to try and be ready by January 7th for us to begin having the Lord's Supper the first Sunday school of every month. We will meet in here together, and we will remember the Lord's death until he comes. It's January 7th. Mm-hmm. All right, now, the next thing is guns. I like them, in case you haven't noticed. And I like Mississippi's gun laws, in case you haven't noticed. All right, now, as nice as Mississippi's gun laws are, my understanding of the laws in Mississippi, you can carry a gun, concealed or open carry, as long as you are legally allowed to own a gun. In many places, though there are some restrictions on where you can carry a gun, a church is one of those. Unless the pastor gives you permission or puts a security team in place for people who are going to carry guns. All right, now, I am an advocate for people who are able-bodied and responsible to carry guns. The world is just a different place. And even in little George County, there are lots of people who are on meth. There are lots of people who pass through this area who are coming from the coast and going up to Memphis or whatever the case may be, and they have bad intentions. And so I don't think anyone should live in fear, but you should be prepared as best you can to defend yourself. All right. Now, in church, I don't care, I don't mind if a person wants to bring a gun and they have it concealed and they're not taking it out and they're using it responsibly and handling it responsibly. But what would be best, both legally, insurance-wise, all those good things, is if you go through a class, and even better, if you obtain a concealed carry permit. It's not required in the state of Mississippi to carry your gun, but for legal reasons, if you're going to carry a gun to church, I would prefer that you at least go through a class, and it would be even better if you got one of the two concealed carry permits that are available. I am going to get the enhanced concealed carry. I just haven't gone through the process of doing it yet, but that'll be done here soon. The enhanced concealed carry license that Mississippi offers allows you to take your gun just about anywhere. You can take it in the courthouse. You can take it into elementary schools. You can take it you know, anywhere, as long as it's properly concealed, properly stowed. Nobody should be carrying a gun or bringing a gun who can't leave it alone, let it be where it is, and only use it or pull it out when it's necessary. And if you have a gun, you should train with it. You should spend time with it. You should get to know it. When I'm home if I have a minute, I'll pull my gun out and you need to be familiar with that weapon. It's very dangerous. And so I don't mind if people carry one to church, but I am going to ask that they, at a minimum, go through the 8-hour course, which is just a one-day course. And it would be even better if they took the 8-hour course and then went and got one of the concealed carry licenses. Now, you can get they have two. You can get one concealed carry license. That one will not allow you to go into elementary schools or courthouses, but it will allow you to go numerous other places with a concealed carry license or a license to carry, and it does not require a class. I would prefer people go through a good class. All right, so the class is more important to me than the license, but if you have the class and you go and get a concealed carry license, then if something happens and the police come or insurance comes and they want to say, you know, why do these people have guns? Like, well, they've been trained. They have a concealed carry permit. Our church permits them to carry the gun in here if they have done those things. And so for legal reasons, we have a lot more coverage. If you're not willing to do that, and you know, some people are hard-headed and they go, well, you don't have to tell me. This is private property. So yes, I can tell you and will tell you if I have to. Just don't make me have to. All right, I'm all for your right and to carry guns. I think you should do it if you can. All right, but you should do it. There are lots of laws I don't like, but I'm going to abide by them because I don't want to get in trouble. And I don't want you to get in trouble. And we don't want the church to have trouble. But church attacks are steadily on the rise. Synagogue attacks are steadily on the rise. And they're going to wait till we're doing this right here. And they're going to come in while you're focused on what I'm talking about. And they're going to open fire on the church or rob the church or do all sorts of heinous things to people in the church. Well,
I think you have the gun because you're facing me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if we can do something to prevent that and defend ourselves, I want to do that. And one of the ways to do that is to have our members armed. But if you're going to be armed, you need to be trained. All right? What's that?
In training classes.
Yeah, there's a couple places here. There's the place in town does it, Rocky Creek. There's is it Bear Creek or something like that? Cedar Creek, the gun store?
The gun store.
Yeah.
Gun store.
Yeah.
Cedar Creek?
Yes.
Yeah, Bear Creek.
Yeah, I think it is Bear Creek. Anyways, they have the classes. Okay. Anyways, if you want to do something like that, then I can try to arrange like a whole class of people to go. And as long as you are legally authorized to own a gun, then all this stuff is available to you. If for some reason you're not legally authorized, then it's not available to you. Don't come in here with a gun. It's illegal. It's not right. It's, you know, just don't do it. So, all right. Last thing. One of our prayers has been answered. Brother Nathan Powell, starting Wednesday, will be our new song leader. Now, I know he's skipping the process. He hasn't been baptized, and he hasn't been a formal member and all that stuff. I could care less about that.
We've just been praying for him.
Well, we will do all that, and if he doesn't get baptized and he doesn't join the church, then he won't be the song leader anymore. But if he does and follows through with it all, and I've explained to him what I'm looking for and what I'm hoping for. The song leader plays a major role in shaping the culture of a church. And this church will be focused on hymns of the faith. I mean, as I have try to do. That's essentially what we're going to continue to do. Now, it would be tremendously helpful if we had had not just a pianist, but a couple of people who could play the piano. So continue to pray that we could have someone come in and give him some help. Yeah, I'm all for that. But pray that he can get some help from someone who can play the piano. That makes a massive difference. Now, I want the song leader to be a man, but the pianist can be a man or a woman. I have no preference on that. So if you know a church that has a good one, go steal them.
I've tried. We know a good one.
Those are the things we're going to try and focus on in 2024. Any questions? Dare I ask? So eventually, what I would like to do, honestly, what I would like to do, and this is all just random thoughts. None of this is in the plans, not right now. I would like that building to be gone, and I would like this building to be gone. And then I would like to take the shed and move it to the back of the property. And then the building that is an RV cover, I would like to build a large area for fellowship, a kitchen, and Sunday school rooms. That we've got way too many buildings on this property. And one is just needs to go. This one is, it needs quite a bit of finish work. There's trim missing, things like that. And it's okay. I mean, it could be improved if we really wanted to keep it. But what I would really like to do is just get rid of all the buildings, move the shed to the back, and then take the RV cover and turn it into a nice building that has some nice Sunday school rooms, a fellowship hall, and a kitchen. All right, but that's down the road. I don't know. I know that some of you have skills and talents, and you know there are things coming up like the second or Saturday or first Monday or whatever those things are. I don't know. I mean, I'm not gonna hound people for money. We're not gonna put a thermometer up and you know do that kind of goofy stuff. We'll take what the Lord brings us, and all of us know areas where we could cut back more and give more to church if it's more important to us. We probably all have things we could sell and get rid of and then just say, hey, this is for the church debt. But I'm not going to tell you to do that. If you have some ideas, I'm open to it. I'm not going to be the kind of guy or the kind of pastor who's like, you know, I know you have the money somewhere. Bring it in, you know, give it to me. We need this debt gone.
I was thinking in terms of like space sale,
yeah.
Crafts or whatever we have,
yeah.
And sale, and then a portion of it go to the church, and then we
get that money. And how they gonna pay it back? They can't.
Right. Yeah, so, no. None of that will happen here. Your giving is between you and the Lord.
Right.
I don't know how much you give. I don't know when you give, how you give. I could care less about that. I know that God will provide for the church,
yeah.
And then if we demonstrate a desire to do the best that we can or to do more than we are doing, the Lord will bless that, and it'll just increase. It's just how it is. As long as we're faithful to serve God and we do our part in our giving, the Lord will bless it, and it will go well. I'm confident of that. Any more questions?
I guess, like a designation offering, like I want this.
Yes.
Yeah, and not for deposit, like in the missions camp or in the, you know, or I can take it and put it straight on the loan.
Yeah, if people give money for the loan, take it and put it straight on the loan.
Yeah.
And so anyone that wants to do that, you're welcome to do that.
He was saying if he stole a kid, could he burn the money? You need yours.
Now, if Miss Holly comes in here limping, then he's like, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. You're selling a kidney. All right. Let's pray together, and then you go enjoy time with your family. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, pray you help us as we try and rebuild this place in a way that would honor you and glorify you. And I sure thank you for the wonderful spirit here and the willingness of people to try their best to serve you and to help care for this place. I just pray that you bless them and help them. And Lord, that you would use us all together collectively as a church in a mighty way, and that you be honored and glorified through it all. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can learn more about our ministry by visiting www.plenteousredemption.com. You can hear more Plenteous Redemption podcast audio at www.plenteousredemption.media. Please comment below if this podcast has been a help to you. Also, inform us of future topics that would interest you. Thank you again for listening to the Plenteous Redemption podcast.